Thank you, God, for teaching me to be a strong single dad.
Dear God, thank you so much for giving me this new job. I love it.
Thanks for sending Jeff to take my shift last week so I could be with my family.
For keeping me company on the first day of school.
Thank you, God, for helping us get that bill paid.
Thank you, God, for the clothes on my back.
For giving me the courage to speak the truth.
Thank you for forgiving me.
For making my day better.
For giving my life a melody.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for every single day.
And one final thing, God. Thank you for always loving me. No matter what.
If you were to write that letter today and say, thank you, God, what would you put in it? Would you put in all the good stuff that's happened to you, which surely you should be thankful about, but would you have the courage to put in there, thank you, God, for some of the worst days in my life? Thank you, God, for some of the toughest things I've ever had to endure. Thank you, God, for the fact that my doctor gave me the news he gave me this week, and it absolutely stinks. But you knew it before I did, and you have a purpose in all that. Could you write that kind of a letter to God? And when we're filled with a spirit of thankfulness, as this board over here and his walls filling up, you can write on the wall. The deacons will fix it. Feel free to do that, and write everywhere you'd like. They'll figure it out. But the point of the matter, as you're doing that kind of an exercise, or writing a thank you letter to God, or struggling at a certain season in your life, and you might say what I've said in my life in a few places, I don't like where I'm at right now, and I don't know how to fix it. You ever gotten there? That's interesting. But can you still thank God out of a heart of thankfulness, even in that kind of a situation? Let's pray. Let's give the time to the Lord. We're going to look at His Word this morning as we continue on with the theme of our heart of thankfulness, not dependent on the situations we're in, but our heart of thankfulness no matter what. Now let's pray. Father, we look to your word this morning for your insight. And we pray that through this whole month of looking at your word in regards to thankfulness, that we would truly develop a spirit and heart of thankfulness to you. Thankful for the very fact that you are God and you are good, and that's good enough for us. So Father, this morning, capture our minds and capture our hearts. We commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Get your note sheet out. Does everybody have a note sheet? You might want to hold on to this. Anybody need a note sheet? Slip your hand up in the air. Some well-meaning folks will well-meaningly bless you with a note sheet. Okay? Good. And feel free to take notes on this, of course. This may help you after the whole month is over to look at what we've done and where we've been and your heart and your spirit of thankfulness. As you study the scripture and you see what went on in the lives of people. Now, let me say something that's slightly heretical, but I know it's true. Slightly heretical, but I know it's absolutely true. You know that we have our scripture, right? And it's in a bound book, Old Testament, New Testament. It categorizes the movement of God through the history of man. We've all got that, right? We notice the progress of revelation from the very beginning as God reveals himself, and then Jesus reveals God, and we see the progress of the plan. And you know Jesus Christ, you know this is the plan of salvation. This has been going on since before time was even founded. But listen to me. What we have in our Bible is what God has for us to learn about himself. But you know that there was a lot more stuff going on that God's doing, that God has done, that we don't even know about. I believe part of one of the journeys in the next world when we're with him is learning more of what God did and how God led and God said and God created. And how about this thought? God's still creating. Want to open it up a little bit? God still entertained with himself, still tickled at himself in all righteousness and goodness over what he's doing right now in the universe. God is still God. It's kind of fun to see that. And you see, as you read through the scripture, that God's people have struggled with times when they were thankful and have struggled with times when they weren't thankful. Times they were being punished, times they were being blessed. It seems like they went through seasons of thanksgiving and then times where they walked away from those seasons of thanksgiving. We see various individuals giving thanks to God. We even see Jesus Christ himself praying and giving thanks to God as his focus was wholly on the God of the universe. But here, this morning, this is good. Psalm 77 is really good. Psalm 77 from a prophet who was in the middle of it. You think you're going through a tough time physically, emotionally, psychologically, money-wise, etc., etc. Asaph, a prophet to God's people, Judah, is actually writing from a situation of extreme distress and anxiousness because he knew that the people of God, Judah, the people of God, were about to be punished by God. They had once again walked away from the truth of God and were following idols and doing other stuff, and they were about to be punished by the God of the universe at the hand of an invading enemy who was going to kill and was going to destroy. You can read earlier in Psalm 77. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I thought years ago when I saw this passage of Scripture and I was going through a really rough time, I read this and I thought, this guy captured my heart better than most in the Scripture of somebody going through a rough time. Hold, let me do this. It's not in your notes and it wasn't really in my plan here, but let me do this, okay? Let me go through to verse 7, okay? Watch this. Psalm 77, verse 7. If you've got your Bible, you can look at it. I'm going to read it to you. If this isn't your heart when you're struggling and the questions that you might ask, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Is God not going to be good again? Verse 8. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Tell me if that's not how you felt sometime. I thought this is the good God of the universe and I'm not getting any good stuff. Has he just stopped honoring his word? Has he just stopped honoring his promises? I am at the very depths of my life right now. God, where are you? Am I the only one who's felt that in time? Sure. We have all gotten to that spot. And Asaph feels that as he knows this impending judgment is coming, and he wonders whether the Lord will ever again show his favor, his love, his promises, his mercy, his compassion. And he is just all fretted out over that, and he's in a desperate situation. And then we come up to the Scripture this morning. I want you to see where he goes with it, because this is amazing. I'm not sure I've been quick to go here. I'm challenged to try to do it, but let me read for you verse 10, our Scripture for this morning, verses 10 to 15 from Psalm 77. After what he just said about how confounded he was and bothered he was and frustrated he was and it looked like God was silent, he says, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Brings us to our first point this morning, and that's this, is that I need to remember the deeds of the Lord. This whole Scripture here, which I call praise starters, this is the foundation of, if you're struggling to praise God right now, if you're struggling to have a thanksgiving spirit, these are praise starters that will get you kick-started into this. And the first one is this. I need to remember the deeds of the Lord. The key to this whole thing is to remember. If I told you right now, could you please remember your favorite teacher, you would probably go like this. I'm thinking of Mrs. Smith. She loved me. She gave me chocolate chip cookies. She was like a second mother, okay? I just had a memory. I thought back to a third grade teacher who used to hold it, give me cookies, and was just like a mother. In fact, in my life, she was better than my mother. I wish she had adopted me. No, okay, you get the idea. I have to deliberately think about that. I have to think about her. And when I do, here's the deal. I can see her. I can see the way she's dressed. She kind of looked like a mother. She had that matronly look. I don't think she had any kids. She thought her students were her kids. I'm going to go further, okay? I can see the kind of dresses that she wore to teach school. I'm going to say this, and it's not meant to be offensive. I can still smell her. She had a perfume that was like another. And I would just sit there, and she was just wonderful. And I just wished when I was really hurting and years after that I could just see Mrs. Smith and maybe she could cuddle me like a mommy and let me know I was okay. That would have been fantastic. She was that kind of lady. And I can still picture that. And I can hear that. And I can hear her voice. And all that, I can smell her. Wow, that's her. I like that. She may have overdone the perfume. You get the idea. But when I remember something, I deliberately call it to mind. And in this case, it's deliberately remembering the deeds and wonders of the Lord. His movement, what he said, the miracles he did. It's remembering those things. And at times when I'm struggling to give thanks, it's good for me to review God's history. And as I remember the great deeds that he did here, Asaph is taking stock of the years of personal involvement with the Lord. It didn't matter if things were going well. Or in this case, not going well, he was going to remember the deeds of the Lord, the deeds and the works of the Lord from the beginning. Look at verse 11. I will remember your wonders of old. I love the generation we're in right now that almost wants to forget about the past. That was the past. That was then. This is now. Well, let me tell you something. It's good medicine in every situation, including history and politics, to remember the past and learn from those things. But especially in the deeds of the Lord, as he has worked with people, God's history with his people, it's good to think of those things and to review those things of old. I've also said at the same time, by the way, it's good for you to remember God's personal history with you. Maybe when you were 5 or 10 or 15 or whatever it was, remembering God's personal history with you, times in your life where you definitely say, that's where God stepped in. So here's what we're going to do this morning. Two-sided exercise, which I think could really be beneficial. Maybe you've never done this kind of a thing before. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Dangerous thing to do, mid-sermon point here. Some will take this as an opportunity to daze. Okay, so let's put our heads down and bow our heads. I want you to think of the history of God's people. Old Testament kind of stuff. Stories about what God did, said, reacted, made himself known. Throughout the history of God with his people. Can you right now pick out one event where God definitely and deliberately and intentionally acted with his people, spoke with his people, did something on behalf of his people? Can you think of something as you've learned the scripture that you would remember right now and go, you know what? That story always got me. That encounter always spoke to me. Can you remember something right now? Do it. Has everybody landed on something? Shake your head. Okay, look up at me. Everybody's thought of something out the history of the scripture and God's encounter. You thought of something? Okay, tell me. We'll take a little break here for a minute. Raise your hand, tell me what you thought of. What was the story? What was the encounter? What did you think of God's people? Yes, Ann. The walls of Jericho, okay? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's pretty good. Walls of Jericho story, how God did all of that, all right? Okay, another one, what did you think of? Glenn. Okay, killed the Egyptians in the nighttime and spared the Israelites, God's people. Another definite act of God. Let's go. Got more? Yes, Florence. Yeah, opened up the river, opened up the sea for his people to get through. You didn't put the rest of it on it. There's a slapback part of that where, okay, you get it. But we'll just go with the opening of the river, not the closing of it, which is pretty dramatic. All right, good. Help me, Mildred. Whew. David's punishment after Bathsheba and the baby, the result of the after Bathsheba. Yeah. Wow. That's good. Good. Enoch's long walk with God. Hold on, Bob. Would you not like to be a fly on that wall? Okay. Can you imagine? Who was doing the talking? What were we talking about? I love that. I want that kind of encounter. Another one, and then we'll get going here for the second part of this exercise. Yes, Ed.
The first one, when God spoke to the
Okay. God spoke to you. Let's do this. We're going into the second part right now. Okay, listen to me carefully. I'm going to ask you to bow your head again. This is just an exercise that I think you need to do often in your spiritual walk. Bow your head again. This time what I'd like you to think of is God's personal history with me, which Ed already alluded to. God's personal history with you as you become aware of his presence in your life. All these number of years, or maybe these past couple of months, it doesn't matter. As you become aware of God's presence in your life, can you pick out some, I'm not going to share this, by the way, can you pick out something in your life where you can say, you know what? God, I am so thankful for this one encounter I had with you. The way you spoke, the way you acted, the way you came through, the way you met our needs, the way you fill in the blank. Could you pick out something like that right now from your personal history with him? This is us remembering the deeds of the Lord. Okay, you can look up now. Did everybody pick out something from your private life? Okay, you did. We're not going to share them. That's more an intimate thing. But listen to me. You see how important that is? And by doing what you just did, remembering those events, Bible history, how God acted, and now personal history, how God acted, you have just honored and praised him by remembering the deeds of his involvement with you. And by the way, there's a third one here which we're not going to do. It's dynamic in a body, church body like this. And the third one is this, that I also notice what's around me. And I notice when God's been involved in the people's lives around me. And we share those things. And I hear those things. And I see that the God of the universe is involved with so-and-so in meeting their needs and helping them through a difficult time and blessing them. You get the idea? That is dynamic stuff, which is one of the secrets of the church body getting together because of what happens when we are together. I want you to look at the second point with me. It looks like a restatement of the first, but it's not really. Look at verse 12. I will ponder, I love that word, ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And our second point this morning is, I will ponder on all of his works. In fact, you ought to take a few notes about this, because this goes a lot deeper than the first point of just remembering. This is ponder, meditate. Two words that mean this. To consider earnestly, to study intensely. And listen to this. Here it is. Here's the picture of it. Are you ready? Look at me. You can't put this in your notes, but you'll have this picture forever. You come in the room this morning. You came in here early. Mike's off in the corner over there by himself, and he's going like this. And you come in, and you're a little bit like, I don't want to go near him, because I think finally it's happened. He has truly lost the ball, and I don't know who I need to call. But he's in the corner murmuring to himself. Ah, there it is. These words, meditate and ponder, mean to murmur. Murmur means to do this, to turn it over and over and over again in your head, to continue to turn it over and even more. There's a time, and I don't think my wife's going to hear this sermon. She's out of town. And so it's time to talk, us guys. And there was a time when she wrote me a letter. And it could have gone either way. You know how that comes in a relationship? We're kind of like together serious, and it looks like this might go somewhere, blah, blah, blah. We've had our first kiss, and maybe our second and our third. And I wasn't counting. You lose track after a while. And so I know, I got to watch out. I was going on a bad road there. And so here I am, and I get a letter from her, and I open the letter up. And these were the days when letters were sent, not emails, letters were sent. And in the letter, buried about halfway down, she says to me, and I have come to the conclusion that I love you. Hold on now. Hold on. This is going to get better. All right? And it went on after that for the next couple of sentences to tell me how wonderful she thought I was, unlike any of the others. And I was standing tall. Let it go. I was standing tall out from the crowd, and she went on for a paragraph about my attributes. It only lasted a sentence or two, but in my mind, it went for pages, okay? And listen, when I got done reading that letter, you know what I did? You know what I did. I went back and I what? I reread it. And you know what I did after that? I went back and I reread it, okay? And I went back and I reread it. And there were times things weren't going on real well in my life during those days. And there were times I knew I had this one thing. And I'd go back and she had other letters, but not like this one. And this one said she loved me. And then she signed it at the end. Love, Dorothy. And I had that letter, and it was proof. It was the very thing that I took to a lawyer and made her marry me on that basis, because that was a contract in my mind. And that's the part that'll get me in trouble if she hears this, okay? But the point of the matter is, I murmured over it. I played it over in my mind over and over again. If you've had a wreck, a few years ago, I got hit from behind by a guy that was doing like 55 miles an hour. He apparently was playing with a new puppy he had just picked up, a younger guy. And the puppy had gone down near his feet, near the gas and the brake controls. And so he thought, oh, this is not going to be good. I need to reach down and get this puppy. So he reached down to get the puppy, but he couldn't corral it. As he was doing that at 55 miles an hour, I had already stopped to make a left-hand turn into a street. And I looked up in my mirror for whatever reason, and I saw this car fast approaching. I'm not stupid. Sitting there means I'm going to get hit. But I come to realize I'm going to get hit anyway. And so I did what they say in the South. I mashed the gas. You can mash the light, mash the gas, same thing. I mashed the gas and turned hard left to try to maybe scoot and miss him. Because as I looked at his car coming, I didn't see anybody driving the car. Because he, and this is not a joke. I told the cops this. And so he was down trying to get this dog, but still on throttle. And lo and behold, I almost pulled it off. And as I made the turn, or started to, he clipped my back end just at the right angle to flip my car over two or three times into somebody's front yard, which was really pretty cool, by the way. It's not a big deal. Well, it was. I replayed that and have replayed that scene over in my mind. I can't tell you how many times. The shock of it, the realizing the out-of-controlness that I was in, not wondering where the spinning was going to stop. Any of that kind of stuff. Obviously, I was okay. That's not what I told the lawyer. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so. But the point of the matter was, is I sat there, and of course, you've got to recreate it for police. You've got to recreate it for other people. But how many times in my life since that wreck X amount of years ago have I replayed it over and over and over? And if you've been in a traumatic situation like that, you replay it over and over in your mind. You're getting the idea now. That's what this means, to murmur. To play it over and over and over in your mind. And then as you do that, what's in your mind tends to come out your mouth. This is taking the time to mull something over. It's not just remembering that this happened, but it's remembering it over and over and over again to concentrate on the actions of God. If you do this kind of stuff as a child of God, it gives you a much better perspective as to how God is involved in your life. It makes you more sensitive to the fact that the Lord is involved in small things in your life, which we typically miss. But if we start to develop this mentality, we start to go like this. I've gotten in my car a few times. Don't think less of me for this, okay? But I've gotten in my car a couple times, closed the door after some kind of an encounter or whatever, and went like this. You're funny. And you think I'm talking to myself, but I'm like, okay, God, I saw what you did there. I saw what you did there. I saw that you're setting somebody up for your word. I saw that you're doing this. And I just want to let you know that I see what you're doing. And then I usually go like this. No. But I see it. I see it. And I notice it. So if you do this, mulling over, it helps set your priorities. It helps focus your mind on the things of God. And then remember this. This is the truth. Whatever is in your mind, whatever is in your heart, will come out your mouth. Did everybody get that? Whatever's in your mind, whatever's in your heart, will come out your mouth, and it'll especially come out your mouth when the pressure is on. There it is. The juice comes out of the grape when the pressure is on. And the juice comes out of us when the pressure is on. Whatever's in your mind, whatever's in your heart, and if you've been mulling the things over the Lord, been mulling the scripture over, been mulling over his involvement in your life, then when the pressure's on, it comes out your mouth, and people will have a very clear witness that this is you as you ponder all the things of the Lord. And by the way, if you do this, then you encourage the fellowship. Then you encourage the people around here who are struggling with different aspects. And you can say, hey, listen, this is what God did for me in this situation. This is the word that I found from the scripture that meant the most. That's what helps the body grow. Third point this morning from verse 13. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? God's ways are holy, all of them. Everything we looked at that he's done, his track record, all-time track record and personal track record is always holy, meaning this, it's always right, it's always pure, it's always the best. You get that? If God is holy and he does something, it's always right and pure and it's the best. But hold it! I'm uncomfortable. I don't like where I'm at. It's just not any fun. God's ways are holy, right, pure, and just, and for his purposes. And notice what this scripture says. No other God comes close to this. Israel, those cultic gods that you want to follow, there's not a one of them that delivers like our God does. The powers of evil, you want to go serve them? Their gods do not come through like our God. Neither the God of money, man, money then and money now still makes promises that it can't keep. Do you understand that? Watch the financial commercials today on television. Watch the investing house investor commercials. And they will promise you, listen, peace of mind. Have you ever noticed that? Did you know that money will give you peace of mind? They will promise you security. My question, I would say security for how long? And if it's only short-lived, then what kind of security is it? So they'll give me security. They'll give me peace of mind. They'll make me live like a king and queen, and that's not true either. The fact the God of money never comes through. How about the God of sex? Wow. God of sex. That'd be fantastic. Really. And what does it promise you? Happiness. Joy eternal. Wonderful. You'll live a cut above your neighbors. And that's not true. How about the God of fame? How about the God of power? How about the God of celebrity? If you just could be a celebrity, think of how wonderful your life would be. It doesn't deliver. It doesn't give what our God gives. In fact, I need to understand that the answer to all those areas, that they those things promise me stuff, and the only one that can deliver on that kind of stuff and hold it, not just for this life, but forever, is our God, because his way is holy. And listen to me. That means this. That means as I walk out of here today, my life changes like that. For whatever reason, sickness, things happen around me, things with people happen around me, with family. Things go not according to the way I'd like them to go. And you know what? God is still pure and holy and right and will use that situation to glorify himself. Do you get this? That is tough to say, easy to say when I'm sitting here feeling vibrant and I'm 20 years old and everything's wonderful. Harder to say when I'm older, 40, and things don't work like they should anymore. And the doctor does have that bad news and half my family hates me and the other half is thinking about hating me. You get the idea? And my friends have all left because they don't agree with me on this. And my car doesn't work and my house is broken down and my air conditioner is broken forever. All those things put together. Had to do that. Truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter because God is holy and right and pure and in control. And listen to me on this. I'm not here to do theology, but here it is for just a minute. If God's not in control of those situations in my life, take him out of control, then it's a scary place I'm now in. Yeah. Because if God's not in control of all those areas, then he's not God. And then I'm fending for myself. And that scares the wits out of me because there's so much out there that I'm just not aware of that I just can't deal with on my own. And lastly, look at your notes. Comes from verses 14 and 15 where he finally says, you're the God who works wonders. You've made known your might among the peoples. With your arm, you've redeemed your people. The last point here is this. I need to deliberately praise him. The best time to praise God and thank God is when? Very good. A lot, all the time, especially when I don't feel thankful. to thank Him in good times and bad times. I acknowledge that God's hand is at work. I praise Him. I thank Him. I worship Him. Some of the most dynamic prayer times I've been part of is when we have anointed people that I know full well and sure with church leadership that this person is not going to be around in a month or two. They're that ill. And lo and behold, they don't. And I hear the person who is ill say, I want to pray and I want to thank God for where He's put me right now. And I've thought to myself as pastor, phew, those are gutsy prayers, but they're ones I haven't forgotten. So I'm going to ask you to bow right now if you would do that with me. Can you look at just the past couple of weeks in this life that you've been living? The interactions, the work, all the situations with people and family, the parts that have been good and the parts that just haven't been that good. Has thankfulness been a key component of your life over that time? Has it been your pattern and habit as you walk with Christ to thank Him for every single situation? Is the first thing out of your mouth to be thankful, or are you more the critic and the cynic, and does negative stuff start to flow out? Let me challenge you to be like Asaph. Asaph the prophet saw the judgment coming upon the people of Israel. People were going to die. People were going to suffer as Babylon took them over as punishment. And no matter how bad it looked at the very first step into that situation, he praised and he thanked God for the God who is in control. In fact, right now with your head bowed, why don't you do just that? We don't know what's ahead for us the next month or two. But as you look at your life, could you right now thank Him? Thank Him for what's going to take place coming up, the good and maybe the bad. Can you thank Him right now and tell Him that you're going to look for His hand through all of these situations in your life and praise Him for Him? Would you do that right now? And Father, we like Asaph recall your deeds, and they are fantastic. You have been wonderfully involved with us, your people, from the time of Israel up to the time of now. You've not stopped your involvement to accomplish your ways, your purpose, and glorify yourself. And I thank you most of all this morning for the goodness of the fact that you are just with us. You are the God who is with us. And I praise you for that, Father, because I would hate to be alone and face what I have to face out there. Father, as we go from here this week, I pray that we'd be ever mindful of your presence and your working will in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.